Well, that's true. I've come too far to look back. I have no quit in my mind at this point and see no need in going back. Don't want to go back to no back life, that's for sure. I'm satisfied with Jesus, all right? All right. You feel free. You got something you want to say for the Lord, you help yourself. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're supposed to get another storm here after a while. So, guess who controls that? Our roof don't leak. So we're in a good place. Church is built strong enough. If anything comes through, you're in the safest building in town. I mean, that's serious. That's how it's built. We built it the safest. It's rated higher than any other structure that we are aware of in town. So you're the safest place. We stay here all night. I just preach all night. So. All right? All right. All right, well, let's pray together, all right? Father, we come tonight, and Lord, I stand here again unworthy, stand here unable to do anything by myself. I have to have you. I can do nothing without you, and I know that. I realize that. And I ask now, if you would, to cleanse my mind and my heart. Lord, I pray that you might take the feeble words of myself, that you might multiply them in the ears of the people through the Holy Spirit, that thy word of God might change us. Lord, it's not going to be me that changes or challenges. It's going to be your word tonight. I pray, oh God, that we might be sensitive of the Holy Spirit. If they be lost among us, I pray tonight would be the night they would trust you. If there's one walking a little cold, Lord, may you stir the fires in our heart tonight. One discouraged, may you pick them up. And Lord, one just of a need, maybe that no one's even aware. Lord, you are the one that can meet the need. So help us to trust you more. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. Please cleanse my mind and my heart. Give me power, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. But we're preaching, still preaching on the church. And whether this will be the last one or not in the series, we'll just have to wait and see. But I want you to think about us, think about our needs here, your needs, my needs, as we labor together. And that's what we are to be, is laborers together. And before we get into our theme verse, I want us to look over a verse just come to mind. I believe we need to look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's read just a moment, and we'll get right on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's look at verse 5. It says, verse 4, we'll start at verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So I believe we need to understand, we don't compare or say we're this or that. We're supposed to be of Christ. One body in Christ. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Think about that. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So we're in this thing together, and we're preaching about the church and looking at the church, and we think about what Paul wrote to Timothy, how we ought to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God, for it is the pillar and ground of the truth, the church, the body. All right, now we're a local congregation tonight, but we're one body, and we've taught on that and been teaching on that on Wednesday nights through Ephesians. But we need to get that in our mind, that when we do something one for another, we're doing it for the whole body, for the It's not just a select few. It's for us tonight. What you think about that? Again, the scripture says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And we're not talking about the building. We're talking about the church. The pillar and ground of the truth. The church of the living God. Now, what have we been saying for several weeks now? Let's see if we can't get our theme phrase just for a moment. You remember? What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? All right? Let's say that again tonight. Say it together. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Now, that's everything you do. That's how you think. If we were just like you, where would we be tonight? How far up a ladder? How far back would we be? We would be where we need to be if we were just like you. Do you think right? Do you act right? Do you speak right? Do you lead right? Do you serve right? Do you witness right? Do you praise right? Think about that. If everybody was just like you, you know how you are. So is that the standard? No, I don't believe we're the standard at all. We're not. Christ is the standard. But we want to think about that. We're all the time wondering why. Well, why don't so-and-so do? Or why don't so-and-so go there? Why don't so? Well, what is wrong with us? What if they was like us? And they're sitting there saying, well, I wonder why don't so-and-so go? I wonder why they don't testify. I wonder why they don't. I wonder why they don't. See, we're in this thing that we're laborers together. And what I want to look at in 1 Corinthians just for a moment tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul was finishing up his first letter to the church of Corinth, and the church of Corinth was not a ideal place, full of divisions and idolatry and problems and full of people. All right. When you got trouble with one, all right, I have trouble with one. That feller I look at in the mirror, I have trouble with him. Y'all ever have trouble with that guy? What's Rick say? How you said the guy that holds up your hat? Who's under your hat? That's the trouble. Well, if we look in the mirror, that the person we're looking at, that's the trouble we got. Now, if you put a bunch of us together, we got a mess. Yeah. That's what we got. We got a bunch of messed up people that's saved by the marvelous grace of God that He puts together in a congregation, that He borns us into His family, makes us part of His body, and puts us here to work together and serve together and worship together and fellowship together. And we need to understand that we're all different. We don't have the same taste. We don't have the same likes. We don't have the same stamina. We don't have the same attitude. All right? Some may fail in one area. Some may fail in the other. Some may fail in a complete different way. Some may succeed. Some may be loud. Some may be quiet. Some may cry. Some may never cry. Some may shout and be vocal. Some may never shout it in their life. We're all different. We're all different. And what we got to do, we got to take everyone for what they are, not what we want them to be. All right? And work together. All right? Even husband and wife. Husband and wife are not the same. Though they become one, they're not the same. They're two different identities. Two different people. But they learn to work together. If they don't learn to work together, then they can't stay together. So that's the way we are. We got to learn to work together. And Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, who's full of divisions. We started out reading there in the third chapter where someone said, well, I didn't get saved when Paul preached. I got saved when Apollos preached. Yeah, but I got saved when Paul preached. And Paul's the best. No, Apollos is the best. Well, what about that other fella down the road? Well, I didn't get saved under nobody. I got saved under the cross. I got saved by the blood that Christ shed, huh? And it's not important. Was my daddy preaching? Yeah. That don't make me saved, no more saved or less saved than anybody else. Had nothing to do with it. All right. So we need to make sure that we understand all the glory is going to have to go to the Lord. And we're to work together. Now, when we think about what kind of church this church would be, let's see what kind of church Corinth had here. They was some good people that done right. Now, the church of Corinth got a letter straighten up letter. Yeah. All right, that'd be a good way to say it. They got a straighten up letter. All right, if you don't ever get a letter from me, that's good. You know, but you don't. If you want one, we'll send one. But people don't want no straighten up letter. Right, we don't want to get nothing like that. Paul wrote. What'd the feller say? If Paul was writing today, we'd probably get a letter. Yeah, they probably would be one sent, wouldn't they? But let's look here in 1 Corinthians 16, all right? And let's just go ahead and start at verse 12. It says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Now, he knew some of them liked Apollos, so he's letting them know that Apollos was going to come, but he didn't want to. It wasn't Paul's fault. All right? He's sending them Timotheus. Timothy's going with them, and Timothy ain't an old like the other guys. And a lot of times we don't want to hear what the young guys say. A lot of times we don't want to hear what the young preacher says. So Paul's letting them know this. But in verse 13, then he encourages him. He tells him to do this. He said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. If you want a title time, it'll give you just one word, addicted. Addicted. Now, some are addicted to coffee. Right? Some you can't function without your coffee. Some are addicted to chocolate. Right? Some are addicted to their phones. Some are addicted to TV. Some are addicted to this or that. Some are addicted to vice. It's filthy. Some are addicted to habits. I reckon they say the same word, the same phrase all the time. They just can't help it. That's what they always say. People's addicted to many things. All right. But here we got somebody, a family, the household of Stephanas. They were the first fruits, the first ones saved there in Achaia. All right. They're one of the senior families, and they're addicted. Now, what they're addicted to is something you don't hear much about. Nobody even mentions this verse very much at all. They're addicted to what? They've addicted themselves to the ministry, not just the ministry, but to the ministry of the saints. To the ministry of the saints, not the ministry of the lost. Now, that's their job, sure, but they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Tonight, it would be great if we had a church that had people who were addicted, that they were addicted to the ministry of one another, to the ministry of helping one another, the ministry of serving, that you're addicted to, not that you just do it, but that you're addicted to it. Now, the household of Stephanas was addicted to the ministry of the saints. All right? You think about that. So I've done some looking here before we tear all these verses apart here and try to get everything out of it. I want you to think, when we think about an addict, we always think about the negative. We think about someone's that addicted, you know. We've all had people in our family that had addiction problems of some sort. We know somebody, if we're not in our family, we know somebody close to us, friends that have addiction problems, and we send them off somewhere. We isolate them. We try to get them help because they're messed up. Correct? And we hope that they get help for it. But Paul's telling the church of Corinth, submit to them. I hope all the rest of you get addicted too. Yeah, right. Yeah. Submit to them. Submit to the ones that's addicted to the ministry of the saints. So let's just see what we can find here tonight when we think about addicted. Everybody all right? Everybody understand me tonight? Let's look here at verse 13. To start with, it says to watch ye. He encouraged him. He said, now, listen, Timothy's coming. Paul is saying he's coming. All right, now watch. Watch. Now, that didn't say stand back and watch and do nothing. It says to be careful, to pay attention, to watch ye. All right? Everyone ought to watch. Now, that don't mean we're supposed to be holiness police. All right? A lot of time we take the job on ourselves and we become the holiness police. And we see who's cutting and who ain't. That ain't what that's meaning there. We're to watch. You got to remember who he's writing to. He's writing to a church that had divisions. He's writing to a church that had schism. He's writing to a church that didn't have everything running exactly right. All their ducks wasn't in a row. They had sin in the church. They was getting it fixed. They was disordered at the had disorderly conduct at the Lord's table. He was getting that fixed. They had marital problems. He was getting that fixed. They had leadership problems. He was getting that. Always working on something. And he said, "Now listen, they're coming. They're coming to help. I'm closing this letter out now. Watch, watch. Pay attention. Don't be like a kid with their head just hung around playing. But pay attention and watch. All right." Then he said, watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. Well, we know what this means. Stand fast in the word of God. It's the faith. It's not a faith. He didn't say your faith. He said, stand fast in the faith. Now we got, the preachers are coming. We got new preachers coming in to help you. All right, they're going to help the church. We're going to work together. Now watch, pay attention. Make sure everything everybody's doing, you're doing your part, they're going to do their part. Now what? Now stand fast on the Word of God. Don't back up on the Word of God. The Word of God is our standard. I don't have, it matters not my opinion or your opinion. The Word of God stands by itself. The Word of God don't have to be defended. The Word of God is true. If anybody wants to believe it, they can. If they don't, they can. That's their business, all right? But the Word of God ain't going to change to fix it. The Word of God says what it says. It means what it says. If it don't mean what it says, it'll tell you, I don't mean that. It'll say liken to or as. But if it don't say liken to or as, it means what it says. Everybody understand that? It's simple, all right? It's so simple that anybody can understand it. So he says, stand fast in the faith. All right? Now, this is a, we don't talk like this. People say, well, I don't know what all this means. It says, quit you like men. We say, well, that's the negative. Quit, but he wants you to be like them. Well, that's the way they wrote it. All right? Be men. That's what it's trying to tell you. Quit you like men. Be a man. Be a man. All right? Men. Now, the reason he says that, because the men are the leaders. All right? Be a man. He wants you to be strong. Huh? Not strong in yourself. He's not talking for you to multiply your personal strength, but be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, because we can't do nothing. We nobody in the body of Christ can do anything unless God helps them. Jesus said plainly, without me, you can do nothing. Huh? You're the vine, I'm the branch. He's the tree trunk, man. All right? Everybody understand? So that's what we see. Watch ye, stand fast in faith. Quit you like men. Be like a man. All right? Don't be like a kid. All right? That is easily swayed or changed. Be a man. All right? Don't be wishy-washy. All right? This is the way. This is the way. This is the way. Be a man. And be strong. Don't be your strength, but be strong in the Lord. Are we still okay? Then it says, verse 14, and we're going to hit on this really, really a lot here. Verse 14, it says, then let all your things, not some of them, but it says, let all your things be done with charity. Is that what it says? Yes. Well, all what things? Well, everything you do. Everything you do. How come he didn't say love? He said charity. Huh? Because it's more than just saying I love you. Huh? Charity and love are not the same word. Things that are different are not the same. Do we understand? Alright. So let's see what charity says. Alright. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the way he wants us to act. Now we're talking about the body. Now we'll get to this in a minute about this being addictive, but we gotta cover this first. Alright? What kind of church would this church be? If everybody in it was just like me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll start at verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, you're just a ding-a-ling. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now why would he go back over and say, now let all your things be done with charity? He just got through telling them to make sure that they had charity, and now he wants to make sure they do all things with charity. Is that not what it says? Now, let's look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Don't profit me nothing. Now look at verse 4. Why do I need charity? Why do I need more than just love? Huh? I love my dog. Okay? But my dog ain't eating off my plate. Okay? He ain't gonna do it. I love my dog. I tell him I love him. I hug him, I tell him I love him, the next thing you know, I'm slapping him. Get off of me. Huh? Now that's what we have in the church. And that's why it ain't love. That's why he's got charity wrote down here. Alright? Verse 4. Charity suffereth long. Now we're gonna work together in the church. Everybody look at me tonight. We're working together as a body. So charity suffereth long. Yeah. Forbearance is going to have to be way up there on top. Amen. You're going to have to bear with me. Forbearance, you're going to have to put up with me. Yeah. I'm going to have to put up with you. Yeah. Huh? You ever talk to someone and their breast dump? You ever talk to them and they get right up into your face and you don't want to offend them and say, you know, you stink. But you hope they would go away. Right? Have you ever talked to somebody like that? Right? Well, you might just have to stick in there a little longer. You know? Maybe they're right guard. Quit guarding. Alright? Now you say, well, I'm not saying it to be funny. You know why? Because I've had people in the 40 years of pastor, and they've come by and said, you know, you're going to have to get on them. They stink, preacher. And they're more interested in their smell than the fellowship of God's body. All right? Now, that may be overkill for some, but we're going to have to forbear a little bit. Charity. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Everybody okay? Look how it says, charity suffers long and is kind. Man, that kindness wears me out. I want to be kind, and it just ain't come out yet. I'm serious. I do try. Cheryl tells me, she said, yeah, you're kind, all right. It's your tongue that's what it is. Yeah, I love you. Yeah. Verse 4, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Why did he want us to do all things with charity? Because charity suffers long and is kind, and charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Man, verse 4, if we could get verse 4 down, what kind of church would we have? Wow. Huh? How about verse 5? Charity, it doth not behave itself unseemly. Verse 5 says, charity, it seeketh not her own. Charity is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. It ain't no wonder Paul said, listen, there I'm getting ready to finish this letter. Make sure that you do all things with charity. Yeah. Now what he said? First, look at verse 6. Charity rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices, in the truth. Ain't that a wonderful blessing? Look here at verse 7. Charity, it beareth all things. Now, be careful here. When it says charity believeth all things, that don't mean, as though we're talking about foolish things. We're not talking about lies and things. All right. Charity hopeth all things. Charity endureth all things. Any one of these verses, if we could just get on one of these verses, how powerful would our church be? How close could I walk with God? How much power would the church have? How much freedom would the Holy Ghost have in our life, in our heart, and to draw the power of God if we could just get any one of these verses? Just any one of them. Huh? How about verse 8? Charity never faileth. Interesting here, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But listen carefully. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Huh? But when I became a man, what did he say back over in chapter 16? Quit you like men. Be a man. Be a man. Be a man. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Charity. Go back to chapter 16. Chapter 16 is verse 14 tells us, let all your things be done with charity. What do you think about that? That's a message in itself, is it not? Then let's look at verse 15. I beseech you, I beg you, I encourage you, I want you to do it, now I beseech you. You know. Ain't that the same way he said in Romans? I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Same words used there, is it not? He said, now, I beseech you, brethren, ye know. Now, he told the people of Corinth here, now, ye know the house of Stephanas. They had a testimony. Ye know. You know the house of Stephanas. That it is the first fruits of Achaia. You know them. You know them. Now look what they've done. You know what they've done? That they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Don't you bypass them. Don't you talk about them. Don't you slam them. No, you know them. And they've addicted themselves. Now, I'm going to ask tonight, you know, do we got any addicts in here? Huh? Now, what I'm going to read you tonight is the addictions of things that's negative, but the symptoms are the same as positive. When we think about being addicted, all right? How do you describe an addiction? You know? See, some of us, us, not some of you, but us, somewhere in time we'll think, well, I'm doing enough. I'm all in. Have you ever thought you was all in? Talk to me. Have you ever thought you was all in? We've even signed cards that I'm all in. Actually, it's all I'm doing. You hear me? It ain't that you're all in, that's just all you're going to do. All right? But if you're an addict, if you're addicted, it's what the doctor says. It's got to be true. Okay? When you're addicted, you need an increased level to maintain the feeling. If you are serving in the ministry of the saints, after a little bit it starts getting dull. Boring, same old thing. But if you're addicted, that level ain't enough. You got to go a little further. Go a little further because that high, that feeling, that response to the addiction, huh? You got to have a little more, huh? Everybody understand that? Are you feeling tired and burned out? What you do for God, are you? Or are you hungering to do more? Why does the Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst? That's not a one-time thing, but that's a continual hunger and thirst for the things of God, the righteousness of God. That's addiction. And here, we're not talking about getting closer to God, we're talking about getting closer one to another. Now, should we be addicted? Well, we ought to be addicted to everything God has. But he's telling us here that the house of Stephanus, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Oh, would to God that we would never be satisfied with what we're doing for one another. That we would always be more, that we'd always want to do more for someone. Never asking if it's necessary, but because we know it's necessary, because we got to have it, we got to do it because of the love and the charity that we're already given. Huh? That makes sense to you? Addiction means that the amount you're doing don't satisfy. If you're addicted, it's not you can't be satisfied. See, that's what's rocked the church to sleep. We become satisfied. We've got enough. We do enough. We have enough people. The dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody say is, I can't come to church here, preacher, is because there's too many people. That's the dumbest thing anybody can ever say. What do we want to do? We only hold 15. We've got 14. You can come, but your wife's got to stay. Y'all ask out in the car. Ain't that dumb? Yes. We can't. No, you can't. You don't do that. And you'll say, listen, Becky, I love you on Sunday nights. Somebody else will have to do it. Okay? Wednesday, don't want nothing to do with you. Okay? Sunday morning, though. If you can get it for Sunday school, I'll do it during Sunday school. I'll minister to you. Somebody else is going to have to do it during preaching. You say, well, that don't make no sense. No, it don't, does it? No. Then quit doing it. Because if I'm addicted, I'm going to do it Sunday morning, Sunday school, preaching, Sunday night. I'll check on you Monday. I'll check on you Monday evening. Might run by and check on you Monday at noon. Then Tuesday morning. Tuesday, Hey, how about Wednesday? How about Thursday? How about Friday? How about if I'm addicted that I can't get enough of serving you? Is that what it says? You ever get addicted to serving somebody, or they wear me out? Huh? Not ever have nobody talk to me. Now, let's be sure. Listen, we talk plain. If we were just talking just us, you'd talk to me.
Yes, sir.
Right? We're just looking tonight. Huh? How about when you're obsessed with the ministry? You ever be obsessed with serving the saints? See, ministry, is that not what ministry is serving? Did Jesus not say, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister? Is that what he said? Talk to me. Is that not what he said?
Yes, sir.
So what's your thought life about like? What do you think about? When you're not actively involved in your calling, are you still thinking about it? I know people that are addicted to deer hunting. They're addicted to deer hunting. Right? They deer hunt. They wear camouflage all the time. They've got the stains on their window glasses. They got the signs on their car. They wear the boots. They got the knife. All the time. I mean, church, it don't matter what it is. You go to their house, they've got deer, they've got this deer everywhere. You see on their phone, they got a deer cover.
Yeah.
Alright? They're always looking at deer books, and they're looking to see about feeders, and they're looking to see about tree stands, they're looking about to see about arrows and bullets and everything got on my, and they think, and when they dream about big bucks. Nobody ever dreams about a doe. If you're an addict, you dream about the big bucks. Right? If you want a fix, you'll dream about a doe. But if you're an addict, you'll dream about the big bucks. And when you see them come through the woods, your mind's foggy. It's like an addict. And your high is so high that you get the shakes. Am I right? And you can't breathe. And it's a spike. And it's almost got 3-inch horns. And you're going to have a heart attack backwards. And you get on your phone. I saw one. What'd you see? It was just a spike. But the other one will be here in a minute. You're addicted. You know why? Because I've been addicted. I got boys that are addicted. I've got grandkids that are addicted. And boys back there in the back. Huh? When I growed up, it wasn't much deer. You got excited over a deer track. Seriously. They would people be up on Flanagan Mountain and they come by and say, hey, we see some deer tracks up on it. No, you didn't. Yeah. Ain't no deer around here. Yeah, we did. We seen two sets of tracks on Flanagan. There ain't no deer around here. Well, I swear, I'll take you to them and the whole town and go up and look at two deer tracks that went across the road. And people got the taste of it. Huh? And now we got people like Matthew that'll ride a bicycle that you got to pedal for miles to a laurel thicket up a mountain to just look and check and see if there's a picture on his camera because there's no reception at his house. So he's got to walk and mountain climb and crawl through brush and come back torn, clothes torn, scratched, just to see if he had a picture of a deer that may have come through. Where's Aaliyah? She shall, my friend. You know why? Because he loves. But do we do that at church? Do we have that same addiction when it comes to the church house? We don't care where we come or not. We can. There's too many things that'll take our mind off of the church house that we don't even come. Too many things that's on our mind that we're too busy and too occupied because we're not addicted to the ministry of the saints. Huh? We still okay? Addiction means that it's constantly in the back of your mind. Constantly. You continually think, Matthew, I know what's running through your mind. You continually think about ways to improve and increase what you're doing for the Lord, not for deer hunting. Do you do that? Do you sit and wonder, you know, we do this. If we could do that, that would be so much better. That would work so much. Boy, that would help him so much. Do you sit around and do that? You say, I wish they'd go somewhere else. We're talking about addictions. That's what we're talking about. It's amazing what you get out of that little word and that little verse. Huh? We still okay? Now, listen, I'm not being off caller. All right? But when it comes to doing, can you do too much for somebody? No, wait a minute. Now, I'm not talking about entitlement and enabling people. I'm talking about doing for you to help you. Not doing for you to hurt yourself. Everybody follow me? You're continually sneaking quickies throughout the day. If you're an addict, you don't have to shoot up all the way. You'll take a little bit. Whew. That eased me down a little bit. Huh? Just like somebody's a drunk. All right? They don't have to sit down and drink a 12-pack if they just had to get them a little shot there. You know, that's them walking drunks. We always call them working drunks. You ever been around them working drunks? I've worked with them. They'd be drunk as a skunk, but they could work, they could concentrate, they could do all kinds of tedious tasks. This is honest truth. I had a guy I worked with, he was a welder. I had the machinist, he was a welder, and I better not say his name. And he smoked dope all the time. But he shook like this. And he's welding. We get these hubs in off of a certain piece of mine equipment, and he had to go down in a hole, a 5/8 hole, 5/8 bolt, and the bolts would be broke off, and we had to get them bolts out to refix them. And I would spend hours trying to drill them bolts out. He said, I can get them out. I said, you can't? He said, yeah. He said, I'll be right back. And he'd go out beside the building, he was smoking a joint. Honest truth now, he'd done this for 2 years. He'd go out beside smoking a joint. He was a steady. He'd take a welding rod, take that hood, and he'd stick it. If y'all guys know, 5/8 hole small on your thumb, and he'd stick that rod down there, and he'd build that, never hurt the threads, and build up. He'd take a pair of vice grips, you're a welder, and he'd unscrew them bolts, and I'd run the taps down thumb to fix them. And the time we saved, the money we made. But if he didn't have a joint, he couldn't eat soup, you know. But he said, be right back. I always laughed at him. Be right back. He came in, boy, just as straight as he. You know why? Because he was an addict. Now, he didn't get so bad that he couldn't concentrate, and he just got him a little fix. Did you ever just stop enough, long enough, just to do just some little something for somebody? Yeah. Just a little something, because I can't wait till Sunday. I got to do something now. Because I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints, of my brothers and sisters, my family, my body. Are we still okay? It's going to storm. Y'all going to hang with me another 5 minutes or so here. I got my hearing aids in. I heard it thunder. Addiction to the ministry is a lifestyle. Are you hearing me? See, addicts, that ain't something they do. That's their life. That's their life. Everything on their agenda is another way to get a fix. Another way to get high. Another way. And that ought to be us. The house of Stephanus was addicted to the ministry. That only their life was helping the body. Will we have so many fall through the cracks? If we were addicts? Will we have so many kids fall through the cracks? Will we have so many adults trying to find other places? If we were addicts? Huh? Do you find yourself, you know, sneaking a quickie? Okay. Think about this. Do you find yourself Well, we don't have visitation on Tuesdays. So this is Thursday. So do you find yourself slipping one in the mail? Find yourself laying a track where you're eating? Find yourself going by and stuffing in a beer box in the store, kind of casually behind, you know. You ever do that? Do you ever look around and see if anybody's looking and back up to the beer cooler and kind of feel around for the hole? You stick your hands in and stick a track in. Anybody ever do that? Surely, I'm sure somebody's done that. I don't do that. I just go over and just do it, stick it down in there. I don't care if they're getting ready to buy it, you know. But you know how you do. Just try a little quickie, a little fix. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Are you prone? I'm reading this one about Attic here. It says, are you prone to spontaneously be a blessing? Or do you got to plan it? Can you be a blessing just at the spur of a moment, or do you got to plan it? You got to practice it. Or can you be a blessing just on the spur of a moment? Interesting, ain't it? How about this one? If you're an addict, you just can't help it that you undergo a change in your appearance. Do you know that if you're an addict very long, everybody knows you're an addict? Do you know that? Do you know that if you're an addict, you got the look about you? If you're an addict, your face looks different. Your body looks different. You wear your clothes different. Do you not? And you can't hide it. Have you ever went to church when you saw one that was addicted to the ministry of the saints? Here they come. And you don't know whether to run or whether to be tickled. But you knowed they were different. Does not maybe the scripture say that we're peculiar people? Is that not what the Bible says? Does that, are we not supposed to be a little different? Does not the Bible say we're not being conformed to this world, that we probably ought to look a little different? Does the Bible not say that we ought to come out from among them and be ye separate, that they ought to be a difference? Does that not what the Bible say? I'm just wondering, are we addicted? We're addicted. But I don't know if it's a ministry to the saints, you know. Are we still okay? Does the fact, now listen to me now, does the fact tonight that you're God's ambassador to the world make a difference in how you live? That that we have been selected out of the pool of 8.5 billion people to be an ambassador for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you have been chosen to be the spokesman for every foreign person. And what kind of foreign? Wherever the foreign mission is, any soul that Christ is foreign. Think about that. Are we okay? Let me ask you this. How much of your ministry, and you got one, how much has it affected you? We ain't gonna talk about how it's affected others. How much has it affected you? Has it made a change in you, any? If your ministry don't even change you, I doubt very seriously if it's going to change anybody else. If you're the same you've always been, God help us if we say, well, I've always been this way. Change! All right, one more here. If you're an addict, you're prone to go into denial. But you continue deeper even though others argue against it. You know you do too much. You ever have anybody come by, you know you do too much. You know you give too much. No, I don't. No, I've stopped all that. You're in denial. And all the time you're back here giving and doing. Huh? You know you're an addict when you can't quit even though people say you do too much. When people say you go too much. When people say you need to take time for yourself. Chapter and verse, please. Chapter and verse. I thought I died. I thought I was supposed to die. For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, do I not die today? If I die today, how can I take time for myself? I'm dead. Well, what kind of time does a dead man need? I'm just preaching tonight. It don't matter whether you understand it or agree. I mean, I'm just giving us information. We're just preaching about addicts. Might help you. You know? I mean, I got blown out of the water on the first one when I was reading over about being kind. I've been backpedaling since then. Huh? You know, sometimes we'll look at others and we'll try to think, well, God will let me get by with less commitment because they're not doing nothing. Huh? You know, so-and-so don't do nothing, so I can slack off a little bit. Why do I have to do it all? When I'm an addict. Nah, I just can't help it. That's why I love to be in a church when we have the can't help it. When we worship a little bit, you know. I just can't help it, preacher. I got to stand. I just can't help it, preacher. I just got to praise him. I just can't help it, preacher. But you know, we don't have him can't help us much anymore. So. You ever deal with an addict? And he told you, I'll never do it again. I'm sorry. I just can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll change. I'll change. I'll change. I'll change. But they can't. But I'm afraid that our dry out has worked. I'm afraid we've all been to dry out. How about verse 16? We better quit, haven't we? I've said enough. Verse 16, it ain't no better. Verse 16 says, we'll read 15 and 16 together is how it goes, because there's a comma there. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, unto the people like Stephanus in their house, that you submit to them. That you work together for them. That you go in there and get in there with them. The ones that are addicted, the ones that ain't, need to get in there with the ones that are. That's what Paul said. What he said, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and not only them, but unto everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Even the ones that may not be quite addicted yet, but they're getting there, hanging there with them too. Huh? Work together, not wanting to be boss. When you submit, you don't have to be boss. Yeah. Sometimes we just got to be the boss. I worked union mines. Bosses wasn't allowed to work. In the brotherhood, The bosses weren't allowed to work. Huh? They weren't allowed on a piece of equipment. You let a boss get on a piece of equipment, we pour our water out and go home. Wouldn't we, Larry? Catch you moving a shuttle car around the break. Huh? Yeah, I'll strike. You don't pay me double time tonight, I'll strike. Huh? Sometimes we're a union, we just want a boss. I always get telling some of you, if you've done this, I'm not throwing those stones at you. I've just worked around some that just soon they could get their time in, like what, 3 years, they'd run and get their Boston papers so they could quit working. They didn't know how to set a mine timber, but they'd want to be boss. Have you ever seen anybody in church, you know? They get saved and they know how to pastor. Huh? They get saved. They know how to teach them little kids Sunday school. Huh? Can't even tie their own shoes, and they want to tell the teachers how to teach Sunday school. Huh? They's got to be boss. Huh? That ain't what this scripture means. It says that you submit. Work together, not wanting to be boss. That to take help offered, and you offer help. Huh? That you let the teaching of the Word of God come in you without argument. See, if you read in your Bible, they didn't argue about the Bible. They went home and studied the Scripture to make sure those things that were said was so. Ain't that what the Scripture says? They didn't argue about it. See, if I truly died, I'm not going to argue with you anyway. If I truly died, you're not going to offend me. If I truly died, I'm not going to argue with you. If I truly died, there ain't going to be an ounce of pride in me. If I died. We okay? It says that they labor. Anybody helps us in labor? Labor in the Word. We got Sunday school teachers. Everybody ought to be included in that Sunday school class. Everybody ought to be working to fill all the Sunday school classes. Everybody ought to be working together, helping that teacher, praying for that teacher. You say, well, I'm not the teacher. Then you ought to have a list of every teacher. And you ought to be praying for that teacher. And you ought to be going to that teacher and say, what can I do for your class? You need any crayons? You need any pencils? You need this? You need that? Can I help you in any way? Huh? Can you go to the workers on Wednesday night? So, well, I don't know what they're doing. I say, you ought to know what everybody's doing. You're supposed to be watching. We ought to know what goes on in the church. We ought to know who's teaching. We ought to know who our officers are. Hey, we ought to know who the one sitting beside us is. We okay? I'll go to Brother Rick, the adult class. Rick, how can we make a secret Sunday school better? Huh? You know what Brother Rick would say? Whatever you feel like you need to do. Well, you need a fix. That's what you ought to be feeling. You need a fix. And you go help somebody get into class. Huh? Because it's going to help the teacher. Huh? Are you understanding? See, we run over these verses and we say, ooh, oh, they was addicted to them. And we go on and we never apply it. We read it like it's a book. It ain't a book. It's more than a book. It's God speaking to us. Huh? It's not a novel. It's not a Western. It's not a Louis L'Amour Western. Huh? That ain't what it is. It's the Word of God, and everything is written for our example. And He's telling us as an example to a church, to the church at Corinth, listen, don't lay out of there, watch and be strong and quit you like men and do everything with charity. And now listen to me now, submit to the household of Stephanus and the like there, you know, because they are addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now you help them. It ain't just telling us that there was a man named Stephanus that was the first one saved, and they done good. Ooh, ah, yay for Steph. That ain't what it's there for. It's there for us to take it and be that. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Father, I've tried to do as you've asked. And Lord, I know I fail. I don't have to ask you if I fail. I know I do. But Lord, I want to keep on going. I don't want to lay down and quit because I fail. Lord, I want to get up. You're worthy for me to keep scratching and moving and pawing and trying to do. Lord, you're worthy for that. You've given me everything. You give me everything. I had nothing. Oh God, I had nothing. And you give me everything. Oh, you deserve everything of me. You deserve my time, my mind. Lord, I need to be addicted. I need a fix tonight. Oh God, help me to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. And I'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And amen.